Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome back into the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about repetition within poetry. I'm a really big fan of repetition. I use a lot, maybe too much, if we're being honest with ourselves. But I think that's like why I chose it for this second episode. And obviously, our first episode was our introductory episode, What is Poetry? So if you haven't listened to that, go back and check it out. Not requirement. But repetition basically is just about doing something over. I mean, not necessarily just a word or a phrase, but even the repetition of a sound counts as repetition. One of the examples that I'm going to use today, talk about today, is Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll, and it literally repeats a whole stanza. So you get the whole scale of, like, repeating a sound counts as repetition, but then you can repeat, like, I mean, a stanza could be half a poem or a full poem, but to repeat that within itself is a really interesting choice. In the book Poetry, A Writer's Guide, and Anthology, by Amarat Cuey and W. Todd Kaneko, they talk about repetition, and they... they say there's a kind of comfort in familiarity. The second time we encounter something, we approach it differently, more generously. It's similar to the way stand-up comedians use callbacks within a routine, and so often the biggest laughs come when the comedian pulls back out a phrase or a line from an earlier joke. It's really interesting to see this considered with something other than literature, and to think about it in the context of the way that comedians interact with the world in order to get responses from their audiences, in comparison with the way that poets try and get responses from their audiences, even if they're not in the same space as them. The repetition just happens across the page. Okay, so stepping into our first example, I'm going to be talking, reading you guys through Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. If people don't know this poem already, it's really fun. It's a nonsense poem. So it really, like, has a lot of words that don't make sense and, you know, are spelt funny and don't really mean anything unless they're within the context of the poem. So it's kind of fun and playful, but it still hits home with some of the meanings that it's trying to get across, which is fabulous. Brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested by he by the tumtum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes aflame came whiffling through the tulgy wood, and burbled as it came. 1-2, 1-2, and through, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. Left it dead, and with its head he went galumping back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, Callooh, Callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas Brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe. So as you can hear in that, the first and last stanza sort of repeat themselves almost, I think, exactly. I mean, I couldn't find any differences unless, you know. But what's really interesting about that is this story follows a narrative, and it almost seems like the repetition of the first stanza in the last stanza, or even as the last stanza, sort of brings it back to, like, hero's journey style, where it's always about returning to the point of origin. The hero goes home, even if something has changed. Also, we can hear in this poem it's about a father and son. It's about the son going off on a journey and returning home to its father. So in a sense, it could be considered that the repetition is about the continuation of this lineage, not lineage, tradition, legacy. Like, maybe it starts anew with the next eldest son or something along those lines. It's a tradition passed down through the family that the son has to go into the woods and fight the Jabberwocky and come back. And it almost feels like the repetition of the first stanza as the last brings that into the cycle as a tradition, which is really interesting and really fun. Another poem that uses repetition in an interesting way is Maya Angelou's Still I Rise. I hadn't read a lot of Maya Angelou early in my life. Like, I started reading her stuff a couple of months ago, maybe about a year, and I really enjoy it. And I found this one, and I mean, it's one of her most famous ones, but I really like it. And, like, just because it's the most well-known one, I think there's, like, an idea that you got to look for the hidden gems, but sometimes the thing is the most popular one because it's the best one. Maybe it's not the best one and this is just my favorite one. Who knows? Best is subjective. I'm going to read it. You may write me down in history with your bitter twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with a certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Out from the past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. And one of the, like, things that's really fun and interesting about this example is that the repetition of the I rise is sort of a symbol of resilience. It's about her, or the narrator, whoever they are, facing these hardships of the life that they've lived, and over again, continuing to get up, to stand against, or even in spite of the things that have happened to them, or have been done to them, or the history that they find themselves having to embrace, like, standing up and really taking on the world and just trying to live with a joy, like, all these things where it's like, what, you're confused why I'm living like this, but I just, every time something happens, I just get up and I keep going. And it's really interesting and fun to see the repetition used like that. Just a continuation regardless. And it sort of, like, gets to the point where it doesn't matter what's in between. So we lose all of the parts other than the rising because it doesn't matter. You get up. And the narrator talks about, I rise, I rise, I rise. Really interesting. Really fun. I just think repetition can be used in so many diverse ways. And these two poems are two great examples of that. So that's the end. Thank you for listening to me yammer about repetition in poetry using two specific examples. I think it's really diverse. And, I mean, it's a fundamental. You can have, it's something you get taught really early and then you just continue to use or you never use again, but I do like it. I do think it's fun. I do think like it can be used in a variety of different ways, whether you're just repeating sounds or you're repeating stanzas or you're repeating, one word over and over again, or the theme or the motif is like, you keep talking about the ocean, you keep it's important because of it's fundamental, but it's also really easy to get wrong because it's fundamental. But I think there are some really good examples out there where repetition within poetry is really cool. All right. So I will see you guys next time. Hope you enjoy it. Bye. Join us next time on the Poetry Tavern, where we'll be talking about sonnets.